Oh, hello, the internet, and welcome to season 33, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist. Oh, you thought I was going to scream it out, but I have a different vibe. Since it is, what, May 31st, 2018, my name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. This time I'ma let it all come out. This time I'ma stand up and shout. I'ma do things Miles Gray. It's Miles Gray. Miles Gray or the highway. Thank you so much to many people on Twitter for hitting me with that AK.
My blood pressure just spiked.
Yeah. Well, guess what? It's about to get hotter. That was from Walter Chestnut on Twitter and many other people. So I know a lot of people hit me with that AK. So please, everyone gets credit. Thank you, Zeit Gang. And I am thrilled to be joined by my special guest co-host, the unique, the indomitable, the one and only Edgar Montplaisir.
Oingo boingo.
There you are. How are you, Edgar?
What is up? The Sprite Lord is here.
Sprite Lord, Sprite
Gang
in the
building. Energy God is here.
Little... Oh, you are sipping a Sprite.
I am sipping a Sprite.
First thing in the morning.
I know, it's 9 in the morning and I got a Sprite in my hand. I am hyped. God woke me up this morning and I'm feeling good.
Just kidding.
I'm not religious.
Thank you for coming. You know, as people were wondering, where is Jack? He is on assignment right now, doing a social experiment to see what it's like to travel with two young children across the country in a plane. And we will get results on Monday. And joining us today in our third guest spot, you might know this person very well. Really needs no introduction. I'm just going to call this person the great all-time guest of the show.
Wow.
Jamie Loftus.
Wow, hi.
Yeah, see, and guess
great
what?
Great to be back.
Yeah.
Great to be back.
We're doing this.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people said, when are we going to get Edgar and Jamie in the building?
Wow.
And this is it.
Listen, we're both covered in blood. We were. There was a hand-to-hand combat that went on
there
immediately.
There was, and I didn't even ask for that.
No. I came in hot. I came in hot, and Edgar defended himself. And I did win. I won the fight.
Oh, you listen, won, and now you I got the guest spot. But Edgar, I guess, you know, you got the guest host spot. You got the guest spot.
I was okay with it when I walked in. I was like, I guess I can do this. But to have Jamie be called the greatest all-time guest in my face is ridiculous.
I mean, look, the numbers don't lie. She got a lot of rings. You know what I mean? If we're going by rings.
I'm covered in rings.
But this is the problem with the rings argument. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. Well, like, history may prove me wrong, as history does very frequently. Mm-hmm. So, guys, I just want to mention to everybody, they've always wanted these two people to be on the show together. We've done it, finally. And, you know, throughout the show, we will do some trust-building exercises. So, you know,
I think we can get back to
being good friends.
Yeah,
I don't think you guys were ever really friends. You guys really didn't know each other till this show, right?
Yeah, that's
we met
right.
on the street.
Yeah, we did meet on the street.
The street.
While I was walking,
I was walking down the street and I saw Jamie. And she was staring at me in a way of just like, I know this person, but I'm not going to say anything.
Because I don't know them, right.
But I was like, I'm not going to let that shit slide. So
you're really making yourself seem like the alpha in this situation. I think it was really a meeting of two betas in the street.
They're just like, being like, I don't really know him.
I did call out to her after we walked quite a few
say,
feet.
I walked fully by you. And you're like, hey, wait a second.
Just all on your, Jamie?
I was also walking to like a 4 p.m. screening of I, Tonya. I remember like
oh,
where
wow.
I was.
Yeah,
it was the day.
Yeah, back when you were watching that movie. Crazy. Jamie Lofty.
Yeah.
Tell me something. What's something from your search history that lets people know a little bit about you?
Price of 10 Roombas. That's, I wanted to know if I could.
Hold on, before you do that, couldn't you just search price of Roomba?
That occurred
and then do
to
some
me
simple
later.
Math.
Yeah.
You have to end up doing the same math problem anyways.
Yeah.
There's no one that is like, don't worry, I've crunched the numbers for you. Here's how much 10 Roombas are so expensive.
And there's levels to the Roombas too, right?
Yeah, if you want a nice Roomba, you're throwing down like $400.
Or how much is a whack Roomba?
Oh, you can get a shitty Roomba for like $150. That's still
that's not a Roomba, though. Is that a Roomba, though, or is it just a robot slave?
Yeah, no, that's just like a Singularity Boy.
Right.
The Singularity Boy.
Singularity Boy's in here.
No, I was like, whoa, I'm not in the right tax bracket for Roombas, much less 10 Roombas, which is what I wanted.
And why did you
Why 10?
Yeah.
I was doing, I'm doing this thing where I'm going to compete against Roombas to see who's better at accomplishing tasks.
Oh, like a Roomba battle royale.
Yeah, like me versus the Roombas.
Oh, you versus the Roombas?
Wow.
Yeah, like,
I don't know if you
let me
do
see
that,
if
Jamie.
I can clean a room with, I don't know, my hands and mouth better
than
Roomba.
Roomba
can. Yeah.
What happens if the Roombas win?
if the Roombas win, then I will
you
submit.
Leave Earth.
I'll submit to the singular. I'll shoot myself into space.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Never come back.
I'll be like space trash.
And wait, and you're...
I got a plan.
Your battle is to... You're going to hand and mouth clean the floor versus a Roomba? Or are you going to use tools?
Yeah. Two equally dirty rooms. I cannot have tools. I have to see if I can, on my own, as a woman, outperform a Roomba. And if not, I will...
Or 10 of them.
Leave. Yeah, 10 of them, and then I would get some help.
But, okay, so you'd get nine other women?
I get
nine other women.
Nine other women.
I only see one woman at a time. Yeah. I can't see
in
multiple.
The world.
Yeah. A flock of women. What's a group of women?
A gaggle.
A gaggle of women.
A gaggle of gals.
A murder of women.
A murder of women,
that's
exactly.
What it is. A murder of
a
10
team.
Women.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. An assassin squad of 10 women. Can Ocean's we clean
eight.
A room better? Yeah, Ocean's 8. All 8 actresses in Hollywood are in that movie.
I'm going to actually do something a little unorthodox because I want to tell some people about something I searched yesterday because I didn't know this thing happened. This is have you all heard of the Mariko Aoki phenomenon?
No, what is
it? Mariko Aoki phenomenon? Okay, so I was with somebody, a friend yesterday, who talked about every time they go into a bookstore, they got to take a shit. There's something about walking into a bookstore that makes them instantly have to defecate. And I was like laughing. And she said, no, this is a thing. Look up this thing. And it's called the Mariko Aoki phenomenon. And it's based off, it's a Japanese expression, I guess, based off Wikipedia. But it's referring to this woman who described like this sudden urge to defecate once you go into a bookstore. And a lot of people have been trying to understand what this is about. If it's biology or pathology, like whatever, what is going on? They still can't figure
it
out.
God.
But there are people who are like, no, I get that.
That I've worked in multiple bookstores, and I'll tell you, I've unclogged a lot of toilets. People
defecate in
people
the bookstore.
Take
shits in the bookstore.
I used to work at Book Soup on Sunset.
Okay.
The toilet never not clogged. When I worked at a Borders bookstore in Boston, I had to unclog. Someone panicked once, shit on the floor.
Wow.
And then shoved a lemon into the toilet. Had to dislodge the lemon.
Did you have to use your hand in your mouth?
And then a Roomba had to do the same thing. I won that one.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm still on Earth.
Hence the battle.
But that was a while ago. I think Roombas have gotten better.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I digress. I had to just throw that in there because that was something
wild.
I was like, oh, if I was a guest, I would say this. Okay. Jamie, what's something that's overrated?
Oh, something that is overrated. Overrated. I watched Evil Genius on Netflix, and I think it sucks. I think it super sucks, and it's a bad documentary, and I didn't like it.
I don't know. Go on now. When I first watched it, the first episode is crazy because you understand what the crime is.
Right.
And then they start zooming out and you really start seeing how bizarre this whole thing went down.
Right.
But yeah, now your criticism of it.
It's the pizza bomber. The guy explodes in the first episode and we're like, now this I love. Watching
a helpless man with
person
a bomb on
who's
his neck.
He's run out of luck and so he explodes. But yeah, then the rest of it is like they're analyzing the woman who is said to have like engineered the whole thing, and they're like, she's bipolar, she's off the rails, she's a master manipulator. And speaking as a diagnosed bipolar woman, that does not mean you can manipulate people. In fact, I've never done it before in my life.
Right, yeah.
I'm extremely weak.
Credit, yeah. Look at the swole sauce saga as proof of your inability to get anything done.
Literally attempted to manipulate people and really missed the mark in pretty significant ways. So yeah, like the whole thing, like the way that they characterize mental illness in that documentary is just like lazy and lame. And her like accomplice, they're like, he was helpless in the face of her love. And
right.
It's just like, no, that's not how that works. I liked that they're all hoarders.
Yeah.
That's pretty tight.
Who
I
like
can
to
connect
fish.
With that. Yeah.
Suddenly like, they're like, yeah, I met her at the fishing dock. You're like, what the fuck
is this a
doing?
Part of the Duplass brothers like,
yeah, like
documentary deal?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, this is the puffy chair documentary series.
Yeah.
some real man, I don't know. Now,
I know it's weird because when really if you think about it, the evil genius they're describing is mentally ill woman.
Right. A mentally ill woman who didn't get help. And then they're like, it's absolute evil. A master and I was like joking with my other friend who's diagnosed bipolar, I'm like, what if we were actually like this good at something? Like,
right.
This would be like, I mean, I guess I'll take the implication that I could orchestrate a pizza bombing, but
It's supposed to be inspiration.
I mean, honestly,
I think you're holding yourself back, Jamie.
As you wear a Unabomber hoodie.
Yeah.
That's true. I did show up in my Unabomber hoodie.
Your favorite piece of garmentry. If that's a word. Moving on. What's something that's underrated?
Underrated. Drinking an entire sprig and going to see book club with your friends.
Sprig. Oh, is that the weed soda?
Weed soda, yeah.
Yo, Sprig, holler at me. They've been hollering at me on Instagram. Yo, holler at me. You know what I mean? Like, Sprig? We might have a Sprig Pong party or something.
I am so down.
All right, maybe we'll have to do. We'll have
honestly,
to make that happen.
The Sprig was terrifying.
Wait, so tell people about the Spriggy.
The Sprig. I've been like, okay, so I had had only sips of Sprig before, and I was like, oh, this
and
is
that
nice.
Is a
this
is it CBD or also THC? Is it CBD? It's a
didn't check. Did not check.
It should. I mean, did it make you high?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
It's probably THC based.
I think so.
Well, I don't want to. Okay, no, it is a THC and CBD infused soda, so yes. They hit you on both sides. Yeah. Okay,
it's Sprig is strong. I'm not a big weed head necessarily. Mm-hmm. I went to.
You
Medmen.
Sound like one. You said a weed head.
I'm kind of like a bit of a weed. A big, weed
I'm
head.
A potter.
I just figured out what a Juul pod was yesterday.
Oh wow! But that's not even weed.
No, those are that's like other stuff.
Yeah, it's nicotine. It's that's, like for the kids, for the children's to pretend to smoke.
I want
to
get the kids hooked on nicotine. so the my friend brought a Sprig, and then we decided to go see book club, and almost got kicked out. It turned out to, we were wilding out at
the
screening
Los Feliz 3.
At the Los Feliz 3, yeah.
Wow.
Where we were the youngest people in the audience by about 40 years. And the movie is so bad. It's like abysmally terrible.
Was it in that little room that they have?
It was in the tiniest
the
possible.
Tiniest, yeah, because it's already a very small theater.
They shove you in a closet at the Los Feliz 3 with 12 old people who are furious
and
at you.
And you just smashed a Sprig soda. So,
and then
yeah.
I just like took an entire Sprig to the face. We'd also snuck in white wine. And then just watch Diane Keaton apologize to men for 2 hours.
Well, that's what the movie is?
It starts out, well, like, the premise of the movie is that it's, like, four old white lady actresses, they have a book club, and they read 50 Shades of Grey. But that's not what the movie is about at all. It's clear that whoever wrote it had not read 50 Shades of Grey, because they're like, it's a love story.
Oh, wow.
Like, no, it's
no,
not.
No, it's not.
And then the whole like last third of the movie is just like all the older women, they like go out and they have their adventures and then they go back home and they just like apologize to their husbands. They're like, I'm sorry, I got too crazy. I'm old. I'm crazy. And then at the end, they're like, we're disbanding the book club. Spoiler alert. It's actually pretty depressing.
I'm really sorry, Zai Gang, that she spoiled that movie for you.
I am so happy someone's making a movie for me.
Yeah,
that's fine. Like, because I'm so tired of going and watching movies that don't speak to me, but that speaks to me.
Or marketed toward tell your stories.
You just want to see Jane Fonda in a bad wig apologizing to a man?
I'm waiting for so many women to apologize to me.
Oh my God. You want to see Jane Fonda apologizing in a really horrifying wig? Highly recommend book club.
Perfect. Now, lastly, what's a myth that, you know, people be getting wrong? That's like a lie.
Old people, I think rightfully, have a bad rap right now.
Just in general.
Yeah.
For being old.
The boomers are evil, et cetera. Agree with that. However, yesterday, I saw an all senior citizen stand up show.
Oh, Caitlin's thing?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
it was
yeah.
At the LGBTQ Center in West Hollywood.
Right.
Saw 10 seniors do stand up, most of them for the first time. And it was like, they fucking like buried me, dude. They're so
damn.
Good. It
oh,
was
wow.
so
So for
funny.
People who don't listen regularly, if not, shame on you. Caitlin Durante, who is your co-host on the Bechdel cast, who's been on before, she was talking about this, how she was teaching, like a class, stand-up class for senior citizens.
Yeah.
And so they came with the heat?
They came. I saw their final show. They
what
were,
was the best joke?
The best joke, I don't know if it was supposed to be on purpose or not, but one woman's closer.
This one woman peed. No, I'm joking.
There were a few trips.
I'm not shaming the incontinence people.
This
okay?
woman kept asking for her husband. He had died 20 years ago.
There were a few stumbles. There was one person whose hearing aid got too loud.
Oh, and it was like screaming? Yeah, it had this shrieking hearing aid.
That was your favorite joke.
No, this was the best joke. Okay. It was a woman who in her set had
referenced the fact that she had been a teacher for 42 years several times. And then she closed out with a baffling line. She's just like, so in conclusion, if your kid comes to you and says they want to be a teacher, tell them don't do it. And it's a terrible way to spend your life. Good night.
Hey, truth and comedy. You know what I mean?
It was just, there was no commentary. There was no punchline. She's just like, being a teacher was the worst thing that I've ever done. Goodbye.
Bye. Cool. My home planet needs me now.
That's so dope. Stand-up classes are weird, though. They're a weird concept. I took a stand-up class at Flappers because I worked there, so I got it for free.
Oh, you're a Flappers U?
Yeah, I went to Flappers U. Yeah, I'm a Flappers U. Well, I didn't finish the class because it was fucking weird. But
you were a Flappers U dropout? Flappers U dropout.
My album coming out soon.
Stand-up school dropout.
There was an escort there that, like, well, she was, like, an escort who, like, decided to quit it and start doing stand-up. And it was weird because, like you were talking about with the teacher thing, like, all her jokes were about being an escort, but they were so specific to the escort business that none of them landed because
it was like
we don't know. Yeah, I don't know anything about being an escort. So, right. But I don't know. It was weird. It's, I don't know.
What kind
it's
of material were you doing? Well, what the escort's doing, her material, what were you doing?
I was just trying to, like, find a way to be Hannibal Buress when I clearly couldn't be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was the note I kept getting was, like, you're not Hannibal
Buress. Damn, so do you know who you are?
Your name is... Hi, Edgar. So can we agree on something? Your name is not Hannibal Buress, correct? Okay, moving on. So knock that shit off.
I used to teach whatchamacallit, a sketch class when I lived in Boston, and I had one student who dropped out once. And it was my fault. And they told the school, they're just like, Jamie was just, I just couldn't stay in her class because he was a Zamboni driver. And I kept interrupting class to ask him about his job.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I really played myself on that. Like, this only Zamboni driver who ever, like, spoke to me was just like, I feel like I'm singled out too much in class. Cause every time I'd be like, well, Jimmy drives a Zamboni. We should talk about that. And he, like, requested to get
so transferred. Yeah.
Wow, you are consistent, if anything.
Yeah, the email literally said, like, I come here to get away from Zamboni. Oh. Not to be reminded of them.
Wow. Yeah. This is how you remind me. All right, well, let's get into the stories, see what people are talking about today. I think to start off, we found out that Donald Trump, he's trying to send a message to all the homies who might be in some legal trouble by pardoning Dinesh D'Souza, who is a political commentator who you may or may not know. We talk about him from time to time because he's a, I guess, conservative activist, if you want to call him that. Really, he's just a big fucking troll who loved to hate on Obama and pushing shit like he's a gay Muslim and, like, you're retweeting memes like Michelle Obama has balls and all kinds of weird stuff, a lot of false flag stuff. I think he called the shit that went down in Charlottesville, like, staged. So suffice it to say that he's a scumbag with some terrible ideas.
I fuck with this. Right. I fuck with this choice by Donald Trump.
Yo, you do?
Yeah, okay. I do. And I'll tell you what.
Okay, here we go.
That's some real shit. You know what I mean? To, like, send a message like that. Like, I don't know. That's gangsta shit.
This is by far the most transparent partisan transactional bullshit I've ever seen.
What's crazy,
right, is we're, like, in a time where we're like, bruh, I got to worry about nuclear war and shit. I'm fine. Pardon this fucking dude. But yes, I mean, a lot of the analysis, the speculation around this is, you know, showing people that, look, if you get in a little bit of trouble, well, your boy got your back. When you kind of look at the past people that he's pardoned, you have Joe Arpaio, who basically got in trouble for disobeying a judge's orders. Mm-hmm. You have Scooter Libby, who lied to the FBI. And now you have Dinesh D'Souza, who was breaking campaign finance laws. You know, he might have some homies that are in similar situations who could benefit from this. But, you know, that's why it seems like a lot of people are trying to make a lot of state cases against some of these people to put the pressure on him, because the president can only pardon federal offenses like that. And then we find out later on today, he also talked about he's also kind of thinking about commuting the sentence of Rod Blagojevich from Illinois and also Martha Stewart.
I was going to say, Martha Stewart, new judge on Chopped.
Is she a judge on Chopped?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's why I fuck with this dude, man. I don't know. DT out here making them gangster moves, and y'all are disrespecting it. I've been left to hang by so many of my homies. Like, you know, some of my homies have let me down to see a dude being like, nah, I got my
but
boys.
But those aren't even his homies.
Really, that's what I'm saying.
That's like him just trying to, like, gaslight people into not cooperating with the thing. But I get it. Maybe you need some more loyal friends.
Does Martha Stewart require pardoning at this point?
Just for her record. For her record.
None of them do. That's what's so wild about it. None of them do. They're all already done with their sentences. They're all chilling, and he's just flexing.
He's just like, oh, that never happened.
Yeah. He's erasing history.
Which
brave.
No, I think Blagojevich is. I think Blagojevich is in prison.
He's still.
Rod Blagojevich is in prison. So, he would be.
I'm not cool with that one. That one, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah, you can't be. Don't pull the white people out of jail.
No,
you know
keep
what I mean?
Them in the jail.
Especially not after Kim Kardashian went over there yesterday.
God.
So moving on. Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw that really weird photo of Kim Kardashian.
It looks straight up photoshopped. It's
right.
So weird. Yeah.
She's dressed as like a hip fashion ghost, and like he's just sitting at the table with that big old grin. And I think Iffy on Twitter was saying like, "Watch, this is gonna be the album cover for Kanye's album."
Ooh.
I wouldn't disagree. But yeah. Kim Kardashian was there talking to the president about prison reform. I don't know where we are, but she'll solve it.
I don't get it.
She's been talking about that for a while. Like, that goes back, I think, to like late last year.
Yeah, because she saw like a mic video on Twitter and was like, oh my God, this is so crazy.
This sucks.
Y'all are disrespectful. Y'all are being so disrespectful right now because y'all keep coming for Kim Kardashian being like, how do you care about people of color? And now she's out here doing the working. I want to disrespect her.
No, I'm not disrespecting her at all.
Kim.
You know,
I'm pro Kim.
I mean, I'm just whatever, Kim. But, you know, I'm glad because the woman she is out here trying to advocate for, Alice Marie Johnson, she's a grandmother serving a life sentence for non-violent drug offenses.
Yeah. Exactly.
And yes, that is a fucking problem. Like, that is something we need to talk about prison sentencing and prison 100%. Reform. That's some real shit. So I'm hoping maybe because, you know, Trump is willing to bust out a person of color and Dinesh D'Souza out of some trouble, maybe he'll do right by other people of color.
That's what I'm saying. Well, who would you want to send over there? Somebody qualified? Someone who's been in the trenches and working and stuff like that? No, you want to send someone who just picked it up off of a YouTube video from a company that makes articles like, is your boyfriend cheating on you? Like, of course that's who you want to send to fight for your prison reform. Y'all are being disrespectful.
Well, the thing is, too, I think, you know, because he recently also pardoned Jack Johnson, the boxer, and then also had like
the famous indie one who doesn't wear shoes.
Then has
he went to jail for making banana pancakes.
Oh shit. Boxer Jack Johnson, but he also had Sylvester Stallone there with him. So I guess it does help to have celebrities there to advocate for you.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that like that's genuinely I fuck with Kim Kardashian a lot of the time. And she's clearly doing some PR cleanup here, but if she can accomplish a good thing in doing that,
oh, if she can accomplish something great,
yeah.
I'm like, just more like the optics of it is really like this Idiocracy kind of thing where it's like,
yes,
Kim Kardashian is talking to Donald Trump about prison reform. That is a sentence 5 years ago would have been like a great tweet, but now that is an accurate description of our world. And then also, finally, we'll talk a little bit about, I guess, the trade wars are back on. Because Commerce Smeagol, Wilbur Ross, announced in his very low, old, dying voice that the trade war is on, motherfucker. Because hitting Canada, Mexico, and the EU with 25% tariff on steel, 10% on aluminum.
That's right.
We'll see. This. What do you mean, that's right?
That's right. That's what they deserve.
Like Edgar's involved.
That's right. I was there. I pitched 25% because they were talking about 20, and I said, add an extra 5.
Wow.
I was in there. I was like, I got 5 on it.
You're out here trying to be like, I've been in those meetings.
Yeah, I have been in those meetings.
But
don't sleep
on
your boy.
We'll see what happens. I mean, those are our close allies, so I'm not sure what will happen here. It's definitely causing some tension, but again, this is the kind of stuff Trump was talking about, you know, about reworking NAFTA and things like that. We'll see what happens here. I know some people are a little bit nervous in certain states because trade wars do not always help us. And, starting this shit up with Canada, Mexico, and the EU, not the best plan.
Miles, I'll tell you a story about why you're wrong.
Okay, please do.
One time I was in a car. It was me and my friend Alejandro. We were too drunk to drive. So my friend Lacey Mosley, who you're familiar with.
I'm familiar with Lacey Mosley.
Gave us a ride. Okay?
There you go. That's responsible.
But Lacey was saying some shit that I didn't like. Now, Alejandro needed this ride, and I also needed this ride because we were both broke. We couldn't afford a lift.
Mm-hmm.
But Lacey was saying some shit that I didn't like. So what I did was I told Lacey, shut the fuck up. You saying some stupid ass fucking shit.
And she's giving you a ride home?
And she left us on the side of the road.
Yeah, as she should.
Oh.
And we had to walk home.
Yeah, so
but
you,
do you understand that you we walked out of... No. I didn't learn anything, but my pride was there. And that was what's most important. Did Alejandro and I have to walk home in the cold? Absolutely, but my pride was intact. Yeah. And that's what was most important.
Yeah, but did your pride keep you warm walking them cold streets?
Absolutely. I mean, I was sick for the next week, but I was chill.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's also what Donald Trump is doing. He's like, yo, fuck these niggas driving the car.
Yeah,
well, let's make sure our pride is intact.
Yeah, until
America first.
Until the Lacey Moses of the world ditch our ass in the cold.
You take that ride, you would get home safely being disrespected.
I don't know if it's not even about disrespect. I think it's not a binary. It's not as simple. But I guess in this situation, no.
If I was if I was getting tucked in, for sure. If someone's making me hot chocolate and tucking me in, I would be disrespected.
You'd be.
Wow. Like calling you the wrong name the whole time? Yeah. Anyway, Sandra, really. Yeah.
Sandra, here's your water glass and yeah.
Well, okay, cool. Let's take a quick break because I'm sweating like Jack in his honor. We'll be right back. And we are back. Now, just wanted to talk a little bit about Melania Trump, because I don't know if you all noticed, we have not seen her in a very long time. In fact, we have not seen her since May 10th, when she was welcoming home the freed American prisoners from North Korea. And then later on, you know, she had to go into the hospital for to treat a, quote, benign kidney condition, and was there for over 5 days. When most doctors say that the procedure she had would usually have you home the next day. So many people were kind of like, yo, what's going on? And then Trump had like that weird tweet where he said like, Melanie is back at home resting. And everyone's like, yo, Melanie?
My wife, Melanie. Which, and then people were like, oh no, it's autocorrect. I'm like, his wife's name isn't recognized by his phone?
Yeah, right. <That's- laughs> At the very least. I know like sometimes, you know, the stories about like how his tweets are constructed, like they intentionally put in bad grammar or misspelling to make it feel all down homey or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the very least, like don't fuck up the wife's name. Like that's... whatever.
No, yeah, that's, you can't make, there's no autocorrect argument there.
But I'm sure it probably is an autocorrecting, and they just probably don't care.
He's just never mentioned his wife on his phone before.
Right. And then, like, later on May 25th, so the speculation began after that tweet, like, jokingly on Twitter, they're like, who's Melanie? It's like, is that the droid that was sent to replace her because the real one perished or whatever?
Offensive.
Then yeah, did you hear that rumor that Melania Trump is 10 Roombas taped together? Maybe that's why I was Googling ten Roombas.
Oh, you might be onto something.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, like, so after all this stuff was going on, a lot of people were like, yo, what's going on, Melania, Donald? He was outside in the White House and goes, points up. She's like, she's doing great. She's looking at us right there, and points off to a window. And everyone looks, ain't nobody in that window. But like everyone was like, oh no, like what is going on? Because the speculation even started fueling more, because that's mm-hmm. what we are wont to do, because we like to pretend everything is more dramatic than it really is. So then yesterday she tweeted out something like this. I see the media is working overtime speculating where I am and what I'm doing. Rest assured, I'm here at the White House, way to tag it, with my family, feeling great and working hard on behalf of children and the American people.
This is the most sus tweet of all time.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's, everything is good.
Right. Well, because a lot of people are like, yo, what's going on? Like, the funny version was she has been replaced by like a droid. Then other people are kind of like, yo, she really hates being first lady, and she hates being in D.C. and is just done with all of, like, just everything that goes along with people being like, what do you, like, you know, having to question what how she feels about her husband's indiscretions and all these things that are coming to light.
Right.
Which I think is understandable, but at the same time, you know, this is who you were married to, so you gotta work with it. But then a lot of people started analyzing that, like, sort of the vocabulary, the construction of that tweet, and working overtime is, like, a thing Trump really likes to use. Like in his thing. So a lot of people are beginning to say like, oh, this clearly wasn't written by her. But I think we all know that because I don't think she's ever written a tweet really herself.
No.
But I think, yeah, there was some speculation that she was going to move back to New York or whatever. But nonetheless, I think, I don't know. It feels like we're seeing her starting to burn out a little bit. Like not.
I feel like Melania has been hacked a little bit. I think she's going full Shelley Miscavige. I think that's what's happening.
Now, Shelley Miscavige is David Miscavige's wife, right?
Yeah, David Miscavige, the world's smallest man, who is, I think he's still in charge of Scientology. I'm pretty sure he's still in charge.
Correct.
his wife, Shelley Miscavige, has been, it was like labeled as missing for a long time. I guess that state police know where she is, but no one will disclose her location. But she's been off the grid for 11 years.
Like,
she's
not been seen, right?
Not been seen, made no public appearances, hasn't spoken to like
anyone. Wasn't
there
a rumor that she was spotted though, like a while back? Like they saw her like with some handlers out like at a general store or something,
she's
like in Northern California?
Because it's like she's got to do something in 11 years. But it's, yeah, like people were saying that they thought that she like was dead or that like it, and it also kind of reminds me of that terrible Richard Simmons podcast that came out last year where they're like, where is he? And it's like, he's fine. He just doesn't want to talk to
you. Yeah, wait, what was it? Wasn't that the thing? Like no one had heard from him for a long time, but it really just ended up as a thing that he was okay and just was like, I'm sorry. I just
it was
don't want
like really
to do
that. Lowest common denominator citizen journalism of just like, there's a story here. I'm going to buzz it wide open. It's like, no, you're just invading someone's privacy and you're not a journalist.
But I don't know.
It's unclear why Shelley went off the grid, but a lot of people thought that either Scientology wanted her to fuck off.
STFU.
Or she wanted to fuck off herself and just like didn't want to deal with David Miscavige's bullshit anymore, which could be a Melania
thing.
Oh, and
she got ghost like and just she basically vanished herself?
There's arguments that like Scientology ghosted her. And then there's the argument that she goes to Scientology and just, like, doesn't want to
like
deal
with it.
Like,
she was J-Lo in Enough. Like, she got out at midnight, learned some Krav Maga.
Exactly. Yep.
Miles,
exact.
Jamie, I am so disappointed in both
of
you.
Oh, here we go.
That you guys don't understand what's happening with this Melania situation. It is so clear to me what is happening.
Uh-huh. What's that?
See, Melania and Donald moved to a new neighborhood, correct?
Okay.
Wouldn't you argue that?
That's true.
It doesn't have to be argued. I think that's a point of fact. That they
so
did
while they
the
were there, we Donald was hanging out with his boys, and Melania was hanging out with these women. And
with
while,
these women.
These women.
And while
these
Melania was hanging out
women.
With these women, she realized there's something odd with these women. And then she tried to communicate that to Donald, but he wasn't really paying attention because he was having fun with his boys.
Uh-huh.
So then Melania just kept trying to figure out what's at the bottom of this. And there was a more liberal woman who was around, and Melania confided in her and was just like, hey, aren't these other ladies in this social group very weird?
Uh-huh.
And the liberal woman was like, yeah, they are. And then one day, Melania came back to that liberal woman, and she was different, too.
Whoa.
And then,
uh-huh.
And
go
then
on.
After that, Melania had to really get to the bottom of it, but it was too late. Now Melania is also part of that group, and she's acting weird.
Wow.
I don't understand
so
how you guys...
like a plague infection kind of thing?
Sure, plot of the Stepford Wives.
Oh,
but...
wow. Okay. See, I didn't follow
got
that
it.
At all.
Got
I was
it.
Looking at you
got
like, where
it.
Are we going? Where are we headed?
What are you talking about? It's clear. I mean, listen, I'm trying to help you guys. You're running this daily podcast.
Hold on, your tinfoil is coming off your head, my
There's
man.
No there
put it back. Secure your tinfoil.
That's to get my perm going.
Standing...
Your activator?
My activator.
Oh, my goodness.
I think
Melania's
been hacked.
She's been hacked. It's possible.
Been hacked.
I honestly think she just had enough because it's got to be very, very, it's got to be exhausting when that man trying to grab your hand all the time.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck away.
I think Melania and Ivanka are the same person.
Well, I think he may see them as the same person for
no,
sure.
They are
in
the
a
same
certain
person.
He is mean to Melania.
Guys, now I want to talk a little bit about art. In the alt-right Ooh. World, in the very hyper-conservative world, in the white nationalist world, because we're seeing all kinds of offerings in the realms of film and music and writing recently. J.M. McNabb, one of our writers, brought our attention to a story about a film that is coming up called The Trump Prophecy. I think it's based off a book written by a man named Mark Taylor, who is a retired firefighter who claims that one day while watching TV, Trump came on, and then God told him that Trump would be president. And this was back in 2011. And, it was a very powerful moment. You know, from there, he was like trying to tell people, yo, this guy's going to be president. You should listen up. I have it on good authority, my hallucinations, that he will be president.
Man, any like out of work Arrested Development writer could have made that same prediction in 2011.
Right. Or The Simpsons years ago, right?
Yeah.
So then he basically co-authored this book, The Trump Prophecies, the astonishing true story of the man who saw tomorrow and what he says is coming next. So basically, then he said, there's a really nice part where this is just from the book. In November of 2016, the world witnessed the impossible. Nearly every household in America was tuned in to the election feeds, and every update pointed to the loss for the Republican Party. But when the map of the states flipped red in the final hour, there was a select few who weren't surprised. They had always known Trump was going to win. He was chosen for such a time as this. The prophecy had said so. This prophet, this reserve man of God, was retired firefighter Mark Taylor. The word given by Holy Spirit was delivered on April 28th, 2011, in the middle of the most debilitating sickness a man could ever experience. Now, you know, despite the fact that, you know, he basically admitted that his prediction was for the 2012 election, you know, for marketing purposes, he was going to extend that to 2016. To I also called this too, so you know, it still stands.
Dumbass Nostradamus.
No, seriously. But when what comes next, though, he was also saying that Trump will win a second term, and then he will release the secret cures for Alzheimer's and cancer. Because, you know, why blow it all in the first term? Why do your grand ending in the first term?
So wait, that Trump is going to reveal the cure to Alzheimer's so it's like performance art that he's just demonstrating, perhaps having Alzheimer's himself in his first term, and then at the end is like, I actually know how to whole thing.
Well, the reasoning being, the logic being that he will basically come after Big Pharma. Because they hold the secrets to solving these diseases, because they profit off of people being sick, which I agree with. I mean, I get that part of it, that we've seen that kind of shit before.
I agree with all of it.
Yeah. But then he'll say once he comes after Big Pharma and ends that corruption, then they will release the antidotes. Now, honestly, I hope that there is something like that, because that would be great. But again, I'm not too, you know, I don't know how optimistic
Here's what it is. Here's what it is, guys. And again, please, you guys are supposed to be basically journalists, and I'm trying to help you
I
out
never
here.
Said I'm a journalist.
Miles says he's a journalist all the time.
Yeah, he
Sometimes
does.
Sometimes he'll just group text us at night.
Yeah.
Say, guys, I'm a journalist.
The only time Miles ever came to one of my UCB shows was to get up on stage and interrupt the whole thing to say, I'm a journalist.
That's true.
He's done the same thing to me a lot, yeah.
Yeah, that's why when we met the first time, you're like, wait, I know you.
Yeah.
Wait, you're that journalist. <You're> that
journalist. Barack Obama did something very, very similar, where in his 2008 term, he was pro-gay marriage, but he never said it because he didn't want to alienate his black Christian base.
Uh-huh.
So he waited until the 2012 election, when he knew he had them in the bag,
right,
to say it. Donald Trump is doing the same thing here, okay?
With cancer patients?
That's right. And he knows that that's a big part of his base. And he doesn't want to alienate them.
Wow.
So he wants to do all the work now so that in 2012 he can be like, yo, guess what? I'm for this. And then they'll all hop on the train because they're already on the train. It's the same thing. But we want to crucify Donald Trump for doing the things that Barack did. And I'm tired of it.
Wow. You're really going to have some crazy people coming at you in your mentions after this one. So let's move on. Because another thing that he also said was that he also said that Megyn Kelly fell ill. I don't know if you remember this. Right before one of the first Republican primary debates in 2015.
Yeah.
She couldn't do it because she fell ill. And he claims that that was God sending her a, quote, warning shot to let her know that she should not try to harm his anointed candidate, Donald Trump.
Oh,
so this guy is going all in. So now this is going to be a full-on film that's coming out in October called The Trump Prophecy, because I guess they couldn't call it, based off the book, The Trump Prophecies. They just kind of made it just like the one, maybe, that he'll be president. And anyway, this is being made by Liberty University, which is a Christian school founded by Jerry Falwell, and they have a film department. And they have a program where students, instead of making sort of like a bunch of shorts, they contribute to making one feature film. Mm-hmm. And they did this before with a film called Extraordinary, starring, guess who? Kirk Cameron, you know, our Christian
our
actor.
Our best actor.
Yes, he's amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My favorite, Jerry Seinfeld.
So now they're working up the Trump Prophecy, drop in October, just in time for the midterms, to get people to really wake the fuck up and realize, you know, Trump is anointed by God. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, which makes sense, is that there are people there who aren't really quite thrilled about, like, this Trump prophecy film at the school, because, you know, you're at a Christian school, there's a lot of things that Trump does that contradicts Christian dogma.
Not something that would be considered a good Christian thing to do?
Yeah, yeah. People still actually read the Bible and follow it, so I think when they see what Trump's doing, they're like, nah, I can't get on board.
I think that, like, one of the best bad press you can get is having a student film made about you. I think this is actually going to work in the world's favor. I'm a connoisseur of bad student films.
Really?
As am I. Yeah. And here's what I have to say. Those students who are unhappy about it, I know exactly who they are. They're the kind of students who pitched a movie that didn't get picked up, and they're upset that it's not their movie. And that's all this is.
That's what you think.
Can I get
that's
a
not
student
what I think. That's
rec?
What I know.
Oh, you want to give a student film recommendation?
Yeah. There's my favorite one. It came out in 2009. I had to go into the backlogs to find it. But it's called Love Bacardi Boston. It's really good. You can watch it on Vimeo. I do some screenings of it sometimes.
Was it made by you?
No. It was before I went to college. But it was like a legendary thing on campus. They're like, oh, this is, if you can get this file, it's the worst thing you'll ever see in
it's
your
called
life.
It's called Love. Is it like Love comma?
Period.
Oh, Love period.
Bacardi period. Boston period.
Wow.
Will you put this
up on your Twitter, please?
Yes, I will absolutely
post
it.
We'll also have it in the footnotes.
You got to watch Love Bacardi Boston. I'm doing a screening of it tonight.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Like, legitimately.
In LA, yeah. There's a few annual screenings of it, and people come out and they bring their LBB gear. It's shot on a camcorder. It's one of those things, like when you're a freshman in film school, you're supposed to make like a 5-minute short.
Yes.
This is 45 minutes long.
Right.
Wow.
Autobiographical, just some real masterful work. Shout out to the director, Dane Schubert, who still interacts with, because he's almost 30 now and still dealing with this thing he made when he was 18.
What does he do now?
Bacardi Boston. He still works in videography and stuff, I think.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
All right, love Bacardi Boston.
He stuck with it.
About a man just smashed off daiquiris all day.
It's so much more than that.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to assume that's what that is. Mm-hmm. That's film. So that's what's going on in the world of conservative film. Now, I'd like to talk about what's going on with alt-right white nationalist music, because they're on a wave right now.
Yeah.
There's a new song out by one of the members of this group called the White Art Collective. That's what they call it. And it's just basically a group of no talent Nazis.
Whack
with a
their name is Whack.
Wow. WAC Whack. And it's just they have a terrible website where they share their non art.
I love their Wix beta site. It's so cute.
It's really, really something else. And the latest is a certified banger song of the summer called It's Okay to Be White. It's just a fucking terrible song with awful lyrics. The music video itself is wacky. It's just a guy hand-drawing images that eventually morph into stock photos.
Yeah, he's just freehanding, and then it fades into an image he certainly is not paid to use.
No. Yeah. And if he has, good on him. Then that means there's a little budget for this.
It is not watermarked.
Yeah.
To his credit.
So let me just play a little bit of the track and we talk about it. This is It's Okay to Be White. Mm. Ooh.
Getting Depeche vibes.
Yeah. A little bit of Tame Impala.
Yo, it's goth night. It's goth night at the Satellite, baby.
Sunbeams rest in suspension like heavenly blades.
Like heavenly blades.
Birthing at the surface.
Birthing at the surface.
Of her tender pale skin.
The sound of children's voices.
Part of the music video where he draws a butt really badly.
Okay, here comes the chorus though. Here comes the chorus though, guys. All right.
Hey.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, that was a big pile of trash.
Guys, thank you for featuring my boyfriend's music on this show. I really appreciate it.
Y'all are being fake as fuck right now. If the chorus had went, I hate the LA traffic. Y'all would have been like, oh, that song is great.
No.
It represents us. Y'all are just hating because that's a good song.
That is not a good
Real
song.
Real talk, that's a
that
good
is- That's the most derivative garbage song I've ever heard.
It goes without saying the name of the singer is Bryn.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it sounds like a ripoff of that song, The Promise by When in Rome. Just from the do-do-do-do-dun.
Say it.
I'm sorry, I didn't think about the right person. That song. Listen to that song. I think it's at the end of Napoleon Dynamite, actually, when they play that.
Yeah.
That is kind of the exact ripoff. And the reason why his voice is like that is because he's actually a UK-based racist named Bryn Dolman. On Wonkette, they did a little digging. They found his LinkedIn profile. We found out he manages a coffee shop and he's a life coach. So,
I know this. He's my international boyfriend.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. You know,
he's
like
a manager.
He's the manager of That's got to be embarrassing, right? Like when they come and like, yo, I heard your track, Brit. ABD.
They're like, hey, heard your racist song, boss.
Yeah. Oh, no, that wasn't me.
Yeah, do you think he plays it in the shop?
Of course like, he does. Of course.
It's a banger.
He's a barista who, baristas will always try and let you know what they really got going on.
Yeah, yeah. They're
I'm
like,
here right now, but check out my mixtape.
Yeah, if banger. You want to check this out, hey, you look white.
you look white. Man,
there's a chance that he's going to grab somebody who's not.
But I mean, there's some, you know, I don't know what it is about, like, you know, like art. Inherently, like to be a good artist, you have to have an ounce of empathy and be willing to challenge yourself, right? Like personally and like the way you think philosophically. Like that's how you like really have genuine self-expressive art that that connects with people. And I guess it's no, you know, it's no surprise that people who have the mentality of like very xenophobic, racist, whatever, what have you, just hating their heart, can't really get the art to flow.
But who is the person who's hating right now, Miles? Let's be honest with ourselves. Who's really hating? I think that you guys are hating on this very, again, that beat goes hard. Wow. I'm not even joking right now. That beat goes, like when I was listening to that beat, I was like, yo, I kind of want to flow over this beat. And like.
Okay, we'll try and get you the instrumental.
Yeah, get
the
instrumental.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop
your remix.
I'm going to drop a remix.
Okay to be wild. You should just still do the same chorus.
Yeah,
though,
same
see
chorus,
if you can make that
rap. I'm gonna rap over
different.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look like you'll take a lot of heat off of Drake. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
That's the remix right there.
And we're back. Wait, hold on. I think Edgar may have actually unlocked the remix. Now, can you tell me what the lyrics are?
It's okay to drink Sprite.
There you go.
That's it right there.
Yeah, you will no doubt get that Coca-Cola deal by aligning yourself with a Nazi track from the UK.
And I mean, nobody knows this, but Coca-Cola wanted to sell their sodas in Germany, but not like turn them off to like the fact that they were an American brand and invented a soda called Fanta. Just for the Nazis. Look it up.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Wait, is there really like a dark history of Fanta?
That's what Fanta came from originally.
That moment of wokeness.
Whoa.
Brought to you by Edgar Montplaisir, the man who is caping for Melania Trump and other Donald Trump figures earlier in the show. Amazing how you came back, brother. So to start off, I just want to talk a little bit about something that, you know, is a pressing issue, I think, in the world at large, which is sort of income equality. The wealth gap in this country is enormous. And we are increasingly seeing the middle class just wither away into nothing as the haves have more have and the have-nots ain't getting shit. You can see that with how CEO pay has exploded over the years. But Stockton, California is doing something pretty interesting. They are going to be the first city to test a universal basic income. Now, what they are going to do is they're readying plans to deliver $500 a month in donated cash to around 100 local families with no strings attached.
Wow.
UBI, Universal Basic Income, is a term, you know, gets thrown around a lot, but, you know, it's essentially about that the government distributes cash to everybody, you know, rich or poor, if you need it or don't, just because they want to remove the stigma of traditional welfare schemes while just making sure that everyone is taken care of, which is a thing that is not really being addressed in this country at the moment. So we'll see. They say the program could run for almost about 2 years, possibly, and see how that does. I mean, I think that's something that a lot of people have been discussing over the years about, like, what do we do in terms of, like, the income gap or wealth gap increases more, and then automation threatens people's jobs more and more. Like, what does the world look like in that sense? And a lot of people have been talking about, you know, getting a UBI as a way to sort of
help people.
A UBI, UTI, yeah.
Getting so I went on Splash Mountain at Disneyland, and I got a UBI.
On a log flume.
Kind of, yeah. I got a. You ever get a flume UBI?
Log flume UBI.
It's when you go on a log flume, and then at the end, you get $500. It's actually pretty amazing.
You get a UTI. You're hurting for a minute. Yeah. You get a thing of cranberry juice and a $500.
Yeah. Azo cranberry juice, $500.
Boom.
It's a UBI UTI.
So I think that's something you should push when you run for office.
Yeah, like, hey, everyone who gets a UTI, I will personally give $500 to.
A lot of people will be holding in their pee or other things. So now I really want to get to one of the most pressing stories of this week, the Pusha T and Drake beef, because it's really ramping up.
I'm not caught up on this.
Okay, well, basically, Pusha T, and who's a rapper, formerly of the Clips, now his own solo rap guy, has been coming at Drake. You know, they've been going back and forth on tracks. The last shot that was fired was from Pusha T, where he loaded a picture of Drake, the album art of him in blackface, and the accompanying freestyle was scathing. Like, he basically said his mother was a loser because she's never going to get married again because his dad abandoned them when he was five. His, like, friend has MS and is going to die eventually. Yeah. He's a deadbeat dad who has a illegitimate child.
He just went in. He
it's
went
just
in.
Fucking, but what's crazy was, it wasn't even that lyrically slick.
No.
It was more that it really just felt like he was like, so what? Your daddy bounced on you. Your mom's a loser. OVO 40 about to die. And also you a deadbeat fucking dad. Like, it wasn't, there wasn't like. There weren't like real good, clever like setups and punchlines.
No.
Whatever, you could do, anything is on the table, but also you can look like a tasteless dude who has, you know, could at least have a modicum of decency.
Absolutely.
While also flaming somebody.
Absolutely.
So anyway, Drake had to clap back, and oh my God, guys, we were waiting. We said, well, yo, Drake, yo, come save yourself. Come show this man who you are.
Come clappity blackity.
And yo, he did it in the most hip hop fucking way possible. He posted a statement from the Notes app, a screenshot, let people know what was going on. Now, because a lot of people were like, yo, what is going on with this photo of Drake in blackface? They're like, you know, and at first Pusha T was trying to take shots like, you know, he needs an answer about this because, you know, his blackness is in question.
It looks like Drake, right?
It is very young. It's young Drake.
Like Degrassi era Drake,
yeah, very
right?
young Drake.
From 2007, so it was 11 years ago.
Oh, okay. So,
Degrassi. He's like probably what? Is he about to turn 30 or something like that?
Yeah,
anyway,
I think he's around. He's
either way, he's probably in his late teens or early 20s. And again, a lot of people, like especially Pusha T, was trying to come at him from this image. At the same time, I still don't understand why no one's been like, yeah, but Kanye is producing all your beats and like,
yeah, this absolutely.
Aside from
the hypocrisy, again, my friend at Kev Chestnut, check him out, has been like on this tip the whole time, being like, why are we coming at Drake for wearing blackface when Coon and Chief runs Pusha T's whole sound.
Right, exactly. So this is what Drake had to say. He really puffed his chest out in this Notes app screen grab. Let me, you know, and this is like, maybe we should put a beat over this. He goes, I know everyone is enjoying the circus, but I want to clarify this image in question. This was not from a clothing brand shoot or my music career. This picture's from 2007, a time in my life where I was an actor and I was working on a project that was about young black actors struggling to get roles, being stereotyped and typecast. The photos represented how African Americans, well, you're Canadian. anyway.
He slipped, he forgot.
Well, he is. His dad's American. His dad's American.
His dad's from
all
Tennessee,
right, so we'll let him rock with that.
He's Canadian.
But the struggle is the same. We're once wrongfully portrayed in entertainment. Me and my best friend at the time, way to distance yourself, Mazin El Sadiq, who is also an actor from Sudan, were attempting to use our voice to bring awareness to the issues we dealt with all the time as black actors at auditions. This was to highlight and raise our frustrations with not always getting a fair chance in the industry and to make a point that the struggle for black actors had not changed much. Now, yes, that is very true. What he's talking about is true. And I think to go with the way that Pusha T showed that picture, like, it's part of a photo set. So on one image, he's like, you know, really, really hamming it up, Mammy style, like, which is the cover art for the story of Adidon. And then, but the other picture of it is him like frowning because the whole photo spread was about like this sort of duality about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, without context, it looks bad. Again, yes, look, he's not the first African American to put on blackface to make some kind of political statement.
Not at all.
It looks, yeah, fine. In that image, yeah, sure, it's going to be a head scratcher. But Drake, I don't know how he was going to really respond to this in an album because he was in a tough spot. Like that image with everything else, it's like, how are you going to rap your way out of this?
Well, what's so fascinating is that Black Twitter is giving him no points at all because they don't care for him to respond to this part. This isn't the part that they want him to respond to.
Right.
Everyone wants to know, is that your fucking kid?
Is that your kid? Yeah.
And it seems like he's dodging the question, which is why I told Drake, I said it on Culture Kings yesterday.
And he listens to Culture
stay
Kings.
Stay the fuck out of it. It's a trap. And he fell right into the trap.
Yeah, it definitely like, even like more so now. Set him up. Like, he's Sun Tzu'd. As I say that incorrectly, Art of Ward him into that one. Just
because
like,
now it looks like it's definitely his fucking kid because he's not addressing it. And now it's like, you know what I mean? Like, to address the blackface thing, like you said,
You can't
do this all the time.
Yeah, and he couldn't in a verse be like, man, it was 2007. No. My eyes towards heaven, trying to get a message out to the kids since I was 11 type shit. Like,
no, he couldn't do that. But also, nobody really gave a fuck about that part. Like, I think Pusha T is masterminding this shit so hard right now. Now Drake is like, you're fucked, dude. Everyone thinks that you're a deadbeat ass dad because you responded with the wrong answer.
Well, but who knows if he can have a there just track. Wasn't enough room in the notes app. Maybe he does address it, but it looks like he kind of runs out of room at the bottom.
Yeah, maybe.
He fully addressed it. It just didn't.
But also,
fit in the
rap battle is so weird because it's middle class fake drug dealer versus sensitive Canadian guy.
Yeah,
like it's not like the traditional battles we're used to.
And plus, like, hip hop has changed, bruh.
Yeah, and also, like, this is the kind of shit. You know, Drake is very self aware of like his emo side too. So like, it's not like the most hard hitting way to come at him for a guy who like already owns it. You know what I mean? It's not like as if he pulled the curtain back on 50 Cent. You're like, yo, 50 Cent's actually a broken man. He cries all the time and blah blah blah. Yeah. Like. We get all of Drake's raps are like very melancholy, you know,
absolutely.
Emo guy.
Absolutely.
So we'll see what happens.
Man, he should stay out of this. He should stay out of this. I think that's how he comes out the bigger man, is not even dealing with it. Because like I said, Scorpion's going to quadruple the sales of Daytona.
Well,
I'll say
absolutely.
That right now.
Yeah. No,
like,
no, it will.
And like, that's what you want. You already won. Why are you digging yourself deeper into the shit?
But you know there's a part about hip hop, though. He can't just let it be the end of it.
Bro,
you know what I mean?
He has to. Because Pusha T, I think Pusha T has something nasty.
I know.
Pusha T has
something. I think he has even more.
Nasty waiting.
Yeah.
And I don't
you think there's
want...
more?
Oh, 100%.
Well, the way that it happened is like first, I think, we talked about this yesterday. He baited him with that song Infrared, and which got this other freestyle.
I knew that, yeah.
Yeah, and then over the weekend, he was just saying like, we'll deal with Intruths this summer. So I have a feeling that he already had that picture on lock. He already had the story made out.
It's
I feel like
up.
He probably already has the responses already recorded. You know what I mean?
This is civil. This is just stressful. Like Captain America Civil War. Like they're walking into this thing and they think that they're on top, but this shit is set the fuck up.
It's just as complicated too, because you have to see fucking 20 movies before to understand what's happening. You're just like, wait a second, how many years does this go back?
Oh my God.
Some pro wrestling shit.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is.
We'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it plays out. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for coming through.
Hey, thanks for dealing with the fact that Edgar and I got into a fight before.
Yeah, no, it was fine. I mean, I just turned the other way, although I did record on video. I did a slow-mo.
You did? You had front cam over your shoulder, were facing the wall, so in case anyone asks.
I mean, I'm still hurt, but it seems like nobody cares about how I'm feeling.
No, it's okay to drink Sprite.
I clotted. I'm good.
I clotted.
I'm good.
Poured a lot of salt in those ones just to get it clot up. Jamie, where can people find you?
You can find me on the internet at JamieLoftusHelp on Twitter.com, and you can listen to the Bechdel cast every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Our episode with Andrew T came out today.
Oh, Andrew T.
Yeah.
People love Andrew around here.
Mm-hmm. Was the episode racist?
It was. Well, that's for him to decide.
Oh, boy. We'll definitely have to tune into that one. Edgar, thank you so much for coming here to be by my side.
Absolutely.
Tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at AwfulGram and on Twitter at Edgar Mopazier. Also, be on the lookout for Sad Boy Edgar coming soon.
What about Culture Kings?
I mean, I guess if y'all want to listen to that.
Oh, wow. Okay. I see how you do.
I'm just kidding. Listen to Culture Kings. Please listen to it. Man, Jaquie said the dumbest shit on the last episode. I want you guys to hear it. He said... He asked us if chips were dessert, and
he asked that on the pod?
Well, I brought it up on the pod, because that's such a...
Yeah, because...
What the fuck is that, dog?
He asked that while we were eating lunch. I was like, huh?
Please drag the shit out of the Jaquie's for that, because that's so wild.
Well, yes.
Wait, where do you stand? It's
chips
not...
Chips are
not
a dessert.
No,
I don't know
not.
How... I said, the only time a dessert like can be a non-sweet dish is if it's like sort of contextually when people were like, oh, and I'm gonna drink this scotch for dessert, or like, and for dessert I'm gonna smoke this joint, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Then fine. And for dessert
I'm gonna chug this sprig.
Yeah, exactly. But if you look at like
chips?
If you go pull up to a 7-Eleven, you say, hey, hop in there and grab some dessert, and someone comes out with chips, I will scream at you.
It's
not what I want.
Yeah,
it's not what
it's on the episode that drops tomorrow.
Okay.
So be on the lookout
for that.
that. Also, if you're looking for me, you can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram, at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You know, we got the website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find all kinds of links to the stuff. You know, also, when we have all the footnotes there, too.
Footnotes?
Yeah, to do that for myself. And also, where we will link to the song that I'm about to hit y'all with. Today, I just want to play a nice little beat from this man, a producer called Kofi. It's called Florence. Just gotta, you know, I just like it. Just some beat music with a nice little piano going into it. And just vibe on out to this Thursday. Guys, we will see you tomorrow because I guess it's a daily show. All right, later. Oh.